Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in these most important 2 hours of every week. It is Saturday night. It is April the 24th of the year of our Lord and our Savior, 2021. And this is Usama Dakdak with you from Missouri. And it's been a long 5 days traveling between here, Des Moines, Iowa, and Kansas City. And just made it here today, just before my Arabic radio broadcast. Had a wonderful time with our group there and with an awesome excitement. A couple good questions, and I wish I can share with you what I cover in Saturday 3 o'clock radio broadcast with the Arabic group from around the world. But it is Saturday night, and it is in English and Arabic. And with us tonight, our producer and the co-host of one and only one from Mississippi, back to Mississippi, Christy Johnson. Hello, and how are you?
Hey, Soma, I'm doing great. Your old friend, I have now officially decided I'm old. Your old friend, Christy. Yeah, there I am.
Christy,
I'm doing good.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you still alive?
I am.
Good.
I just realized that it's so funny because people will still call me young lady. I get to laughing about that, but I mean, you know, hey, that's okay. I don't mind. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that I had a very, very interesting conversation. It seems like lately I'm talking to my grandkids a lot about the Lord, about politics. They don't always agree with me, but I know that it's my responsibility not to always necessarily be agreeable, but it is my responsibility to be truthful. And sometimes when you're truthful, people, you know, feel uncomfortable. And this generation, probably the age group of my grandkids, I feel like a lot of them, they have this groupthink thing going on. They all think the same thing. And I was talking to my daughter about that. She certainly agreed with me. We're trying to figure it out. And I said, it's like they're living in a prolonged adolescence. Like, you know how when you were in high school or junior high, at least in the United States, you saw them. I know you weren't here when you were in that level, but it was like you wanted to wear the same clothes as your friends. You wanted to have the same hairstyle. You wanted to listen to the same music. And there was a lot of peer pressure if you tried to be different. So I told my daughter, it seems that this generation we have now, they're still stuck in that. They're still in that adolescent peer pressure mode. So I said to a group of them when I was visiting with my grandkids, and I said, you know what's weird? I said, if one of you tells me something or I ask one of you a question, and, you know, I was talking about to my grandkids and then also to their friends. There was a group of them. And I said, what's weird is if one of you tells me what you think about something, I know you all think that. I don't even have to ask more than one. And I said, is that true? And you know what? They said, yes.
And yeah, it is true.
But anyway, so we were pondering this because when I became a young adult, I had my own opinions. Even if my friends thought differently, I did not find a group of people that all agreed about everything the way they do. But my daughter pointed out, you know why? It's the internet. That peer pressure.
We're all connected, Chrissy.
So that peer pressure that used to go on in high school, and then when you left high school, per se, you went to a job or you went to college, you encountered people with different opinions, and that began to shape how you thought differently than when you were in high school. But now, because of social media, Facebook, you post something on there and someone doesn't like it, they start criticizing you. If you post something on the internet or you like something on the internet and other people don't like it and they go, oh, I can't believe you like that. Or why did you say you thought that was good? That peer pressure is still going on for this group of adults.
Hmm.
It's very sad, mm-hmm. but we gotta pray for this generation. But anyway, I did have some good conversations. But guess what? In the whole group, I was the only one who kind of stood out as, I am sorry, but if you all think this is great, that's all right. But you know what? Come out with your own individual thoughts. Don't be afraid to. So we got to pray. Got to work on that.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And as you said, I will continue to say that it's not just the internet affects the people in America with the peer pressure, and then all they want to be in the same block or the same way of thinking. It is worldwide now. Egypt, believe it or not, the younger generation in Egypt are completely different than when I used to. At least when you are young adult 80 years ago is different when I was young adult 30 years ago. You see?
Mm-hmm.
The 50 years difference between you and me.
Thank you, Saba. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. The 50-some years difference between you and I, it makes a huge difference in the world. I'm not kidding you, Chrissy. I mean, the last time I was in Egypt 17 years ago, I was shocked that everybody have a cell phone. Well, I did not even have a cell phone in America until I found that I really have to have it. I was happy with my pager, and I was happy with the flip phone. But everybody in Egypt now have computer. Everybody have a smartphone. Everybody mm-hmm. have access to the whole world. And that culture, the new culture for the world, is completely different. When I grew up in Egypt, when I had, you know, I used to wear a shirt and tie in school, and I was maybe the only student who wore shirt and tie. Now everybody in Egypt wear American clothes. You will not even know the difference between European and American and Egyptian in their lifestyle, hairstyle, the food. I mean, when I left Egypt, there may be a couple of stores, Pizza Hut and 3 or 4 McDonald's. But last time I was in Egypt 17 years ago or 18 years ago, I was shocked. There are more restaurants in Egypt than in America, because not only in Egypt we have all American stores, from Wendy's and McDonald's and Hardee's and Pizza Hut and all these different American restaurants, but we also have European restaurants. European restaurants, we have Australian food, we have, of course, Chinese is everywhere, but we got more different food in Egypt than that which we have in America. So, like, whoa, what happened to Egypt? Completely changed.
Yeah.
I went to Egypt, Chrissy, with 3 TV channels. When I went back, there were like 700-800 channels, including channels you will never have them in America unless you pay for it, pornography channels. There were like 20-some channels in a whole session. I was staying with my brother-in-law. So he said, make sure you don't go to channels between 368 and, 704, whatever the number, I can't remember. I said, why is that? He said, they're hard pornography. And they have no way to control it because it's coming to every house. And I believe that was an attack on the Egyptians.
Yeah.
18 years ago, it was part of the package. I guarantee you today, after they got almost all the people of Egypt hooked to pornography, now I guarantee you they charge money for it. So it is a technique, double technique, change of culture. Everything in Egypt is no longer the same. And that's why, by the way, the Muslim jihadi have a bigger influence in the last, 20-some years than before. Why? Because they tie all the immoral TV programs and TV shows and ungodly to America and to Europe to the Christian infidels.
Christian,
and to
yes.
the wicked. Yes, 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 ma'am.
Yep.
Because
wow.
you'll never see mm-hmm. a Muslim lady, you'll never see a Muslim lady in a hijab take a hijab off to do pornography. But guess what? American ladies wearing crosses on their naked body and doing pornography. And I know because Muslims talk about it. Muslims say,
wow.
you want to know Christianity? You know one in the Christianity of America? Watch pornography. All of them Christian with the crosses on their chest, which is sick. It's sad. So not only the devil use the internet and the satellite and the TV to destroy our children here in America and around the world, but the devil uses to destroy the Christian beliefs into the mind of the Muslim jihadi, ISIS and the Brotherhood and Ikhwan, whatever all this, Ikhwan is the Jama'at, all these groups. Well, guess what? Now the devil says, these are the Christians. That's why we don't want our children to be influenced by the Christians, because they will destroy their morality. You know, sad.
You know,
basic.
You know, we've talked about that years ago, and then
mm-hmm.
you bring that up now. It's worse. And, I see what you're saying. And, you know, in Canada, remember when we were talking about the Canadian Muslim Coalition, and that was what they were saying in Canada. Oh, we need Islam to restore the morality of Canada. Remember? That was one of their platforms they had. We're going to restore family values.
Okay. Yes, as if there is any morality or family value in the teachings of the Quran or the Sunnah of Muhammad. If you talk
right.
about immoral life, it is Islam. I'm not talking about Muslim people because, believe me, there are plenty of Muslim people who will not live the teaching of the Quran. That's why they are morals.
Yeah.
Think about it. It is so evil, it is so immoral to follow the teaching of Muhammad concerning sexual activities. At least here in America, and I know Muslims talk about that, and I have heard some Muslim ladies in colleges in New Orleans and where somewhere else talking about that, and they say, you know, in Islam, there is no sexual intimacy except after marriage. I say, excuse me, what? Like, it's not like here in America, boyfriend and girlfriend live together. I say, excuse me, what? Do you know that boyfriend and girlfriend in America living together is much moral than the immorality of Allah and the Quran concerning marriage and divorce? At least that guy here who have a girlfriend, he does not cheat on her with another girlfriend, because if he does, she will tell him, hit the road, buddy. And if she does, he will tell her, hit the road, sweetheart. And he will drop her his relationship with her, even if they're not married. There is more morality in America between boyfriend and girlfriend living together than in Islam, according to the teaching of the word of Allah, for a man to be involved with the four wives, an unlimited number of concubines and slaves, and the marriage for fun, and the marriage of the little babies, the wajir radiya, those are the ones who still breastfeed by their mama, and this, and the wajir masyar, and I mean, there's so garbage in Islam. They call it marriage, but in reality, it has nothing to do with marriage. It's prostitution legally. It's sick. And that is the word of the law. That is the sunnah of Muhammad. So at least in the immoral life of the people of the West, if they were in Europe or here in America, by living together without being married, that many of them honor that commitment, even though they're not married. So it's sick. Anyway, let's move on, Christy. I know we have, we have so much to talk about tonight, and we need to get to our study, so we don't want to cheese from it, but go for it. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to mention, hello, friends that are in the chat room, and Ramos and Ted are there with us, and we really appreciate it. If you want to join our chat room, these are our very good friends, and we appreciate and love them, and you can get in the chat room and talk with them. Anyway, Usama, I had a couple of things, and I posted a lot of pictures on this Vatican conference that is being held, under the hosting of the Vatican and the Pope. And I found it just so crazy. some of the things that I read there, I had heard about this on one of my favorite programs that I like to watch. You know, I think as Christians, you need to get informed and be selective about where and how you listen to the news these days. But, you know, some people don't realize there are good places to get information. So I've been watching a couple of programs. One of them is Steve Bannon and the War Room program. I really, really enjoy that. I get a lot of good information from there. They talk a lot on the on there about events going on related to politics, but they're also very conscious of what's going on with Christians and our Constitution and the freedom we have in America to supposedly, they're trying to take it, worship as Christians. And the foundation of our country being the Judeo-Christian Bible. So when I was watching this and they were talking about the conference the Pope was holding, they put up a slide. I'll just tell you, it was so crazy. It's the Vatican's conference, and I've posted it in our slideshow. The Vatican's conference, it's called the Fifth International Vatican Conference Virtual. It's a virtual proceeding, May the 6th through the 8th. And it's called Exploring the Mind, Body, and Soul. Exploring. Okay? But the picture is portrayed as a mock-up of the Sistine Chapel painting of God in reaching his hand out and the creation and touching
Adam.
The hand of Adam. So they have a mock-up like that, but both hands are gloved, you know, and you're sitting here going, oh, you need to put on your plastic glove if you're going to touch God? What is that?
Did you see did you see the mask? Was Adam wearing a mask too? On
no, it's just showing. It's just showing the hand. But I can imagine.
Oh, did it show the whole?
It would show a mask if they could get away with it.
If Adam will have a face mask, he will have a mask on it to make sure that he will not make God sick with corona. That's how sick this people are. That's
isn't
sick.
This wonderful?
Absolutely.
But their lead-off speaker is going to be Anthony Fauci. And I have come to conclude the Pope and the Vatican, Anthony Fauci will be the lead-off speaker. And he'll be, of course, talking about COVID-19. We got to have all these things and figure out how we can prevent it. You know, it gets tiresome, but now we have the Pope being drawn into that. Additionally, we have a variety of speakers from all different backgrounds. We have a Muslim imam from Britain who will be speaking.
Muslim is going to be in this place to speak about what? Experiencing God? Experiencing Allah?
What's the
Muslim going to be talking about?
I'll tell you. I've got to pull up the slide so I can be correct about what I'm saying. First it's Sheikh Dr. Asim Youssef from the UK is the executive chair of the British Board of Scholars and Imams, an independent ecumenical fellowship of religious scholars and traditionally grounded academics. Yeah. He has been authorized as a spiritual guide in the Shishti Habibi Sufi order, and formally accredited as a religious scholar. And
you know what's amazing, Christine? This Mr. Imam here is a Sufi. You know what the Muslim of Egypt, the Muslim Sunni of Egypt, did to the Sufi mosque in Sinai? Do you know? Remember what they did to it?
I think they bombed it out, didn't they? Destroy it?
Not only they put bomb inside the mosque and killed a bunch of people in the mosque, huge number. Everybody who escaped the mosque on foot after the bomb went off, they were outside with guns shooting them. So See, the good Sunni Muslim, the one who followed Muhammad, believed that the Sufi is a cult. But yeah, the Pope welcomes the Sufi to come to speak as a good Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Go ahead.
Here's how it describes him. He's a religious scholar via a number of unbroken chains of transmission to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Amen.
He specializes in lectures in philosophy, spirituality, and psychology.
Christy, slow down. What is metaphysics?
Well, it's a way of putting spiritual, okay, I'm going to do my best without looking the word up for an exact definition. It's like a spiritual view of the physical world. So what is the physical world in the spiritual world? How do they all work together?
The Sufi are too much into that. They actually have the dance and they do other different things. But what happens to the Pope? Does the Pope lost his mind? That's, by the way, does the Pope have any gay and lesbian to speak to? Any gay lesbians going to be speaking?
I want you to know, Usama, they have so many speakers. I couldn't check them all out. But I posted these in the slideshow so people can see the variety of individuals that are going to be speaking at this Vatican conference. So I wanted to tell you, this guy specializes in metaphysics, philosophy, spirituality, and psychology, having both academic papers and religious works on the subject. So he's an author. He's a member of a fellow of the Royal College of Psychiatrists. So he will be talking at this conference. I mean, Usama, it's unbelievable. Then we also have a Mormon who is an elder who will be there speaking.
Amen.
And they each are described and what they will be discussing. And, it's like, what is anybody going to talk about Jesus?
Well, you know what's amazing? You know what's amazing, Christy? That Sufi guy, the Muslim Sufi guy, he may share more truths about Jesus than the Pope himself. That Pope is a piece of junk. He is a wicked. He is not like any other Pope before. I do not know who put him in power. Maybe the devil himself. And the Catholic removes the 16th, what do you call him? The other Pope is still alive, by the way. He's still alive
until
today.
Pope Benedict.
Benedict the 16th.
Yeah, I think he's locked up at the Vatican. I think he's a prisoner there.
Whatever they did to him, I mean, they maybe even killed him. We do not know that, but I think he's still alive. It is a devil work. Now I know for sure the Muslims gained 2+ billion Catholic. Most of the Catholic right now can see the Shahada. The Pope believe in Muhammad. The Pope believe in Allah to be God. The Pope believe nothing wrong with ISIS. They are good Muslim. They're good like Jesus' disciples, he said. You know, they're fighting for the truth.
Well,
they're fighting. The man is sick in his heart and his mind, his soul. The man will burn in hell forever. That's the Pope of the Catholic Church. And not by the way, the Pope. It's almost every church is doing the same thing.
Well,
every denomination.
That's what I want to tell you a little story of something that happened to me just this weekend, or not this weekend,
yes,
this
ma'am.
Week. But have you ever heard of Her Royal Highness Princess Dina Mairead? She is the immediate president. She is international pediatric oncology. She's care of people with children with cancer. She's the president of the European Organization and Treatment of Cancer. And basically, I think I read her background. She is Her Royal Highness Princess. I believe she is from a country in the Middle East. And I don't have any reason to think that she is a Christian. And it's not that these people are what they are. It's that they are being given a platform through the Vatican. And I'm telling you, there are tons of these individuals, tons of them. And Chelsea Clinton, of course, will be speaking. We all know that Chelsea Clinton is a huge proponent of pro-choice. She's pro-abortion. And we got people sitting there with signs, abortion is a Catholic value? What is going on? I mean, it's really
the
tragic.
Pope
and
is Akbar now. You know what? When it comes to something like this, we should say the Pope is Akbar, not Allah, but the Pope. When you get the Muslim, we shout Allahu Akbar. When you get the Mormon, we say Maroon Akbar. When we get, I don't know, who else is going to be speaking there? Let's get sick.
There's tons. If you want to check it out, just go to the Vatican Council, or I'm sorry, let's see, Vatican Conference 2021. This is their fifth conference. So if it's the fifth conference, it means none of these conferences have been held under previous popes. This is all being done under the current pope and something new he started. And you can get a list there of the speakers, the topics, everything. One of the things that was very disturbing, I didn't put up a picture of this because it was going to be too complicated. They are talking about gene editing, how you go in and change the DNA in a procedure to improve the health or to remove some damaging DNA from human beings. And in this conference, they will have some experts on this speaking.
So now we're going to play God. So now we're going to pretend to be God and get involved in the DNA of the next generation.
The more disturbing thing about this, and for those who have never heard of this, I know I'm telling you things, you know, maybe sound weird and not connected, but there are numerous articles. I was surprised about gene editing and altering the way humans beings develop, to literally change how human beings develop. In other words, they plan that gene editing can improve human beings. Now, we already know this is being experimented with in China, where they are trying to develop superior physical beings to be their military. And there's also talk, and this was going on years ago, there was an article, and I actually have the magazine, didn't read it lately, it came out years ago, where they were discussing the God gene, that there's a gene in people that makes them believe in God. So when you're talking about things like this and the alternative, you know, and listen, I'm going to tell people they need to maybe try to check this out. Steve Bannon on, it's called War Room Pandemic. He's going to have a special on the artificial intelligence and how they are planning to meld human beings with artificial intelligence that will cause them to think differently. And I think this is something that most of us are not comfortable with, this kind of thing happening. So telling you the
people, sure, people can think differently if you just give them alcohol or drugs. They will for sure think differently, or they will not think at all. Maybe they put the thinking aside. It'd be a good whatever. Anyway, next, Christy, let's move on.
Okay, we're going to move to the articles that you had for us. Had provided me with a number of different articles, so let me pull those up. One of the things that, I'm trying to pull it up. Come on, come up here. One of the things was concern about the persecution of Christians that's going on around the world. And literally right now, we know the ACLJ is working to help Christians who are being persecuted, specific case in Pakistan. And this is a opportunity for you to sign a petition with
And here is the truth, Chris. It is the truth. These lawyers have been doing a great job.
Yes.
And they need our support. They don't help. So if you guys are going to go as far as a petition for ACLJ, please leave a donation. It doesn't have to be a big, huge number of money. If every one of us do a little bit donation, I don't know, maybe some of you can afford $20. Maybe some of you can afford $50. Something. If each and every one of us goes signs a petition to help the Christian brothers and sisters in Pakistan, and by the way, they do this every other country around the world. They actually did a good job in America. They took two cases for me. Actually, they took three cases for me here in America, personally.
Yes.
Okay? And we won them. So if you will go and fill the petition while you're there, through a donation, $20, $25, whatever the Lord can afford or help you to give, give it with a cheerful heart, that it will not be just a signed petition, but also will be physical support. All right?
Yeah.
Very important to help this great organization with Jay Sekulo and his brother. His name is Jordan. And they have lots of lawyers, and I work with a bunch of their lawyers in the past, and they are doing a great job.
Yeah, I think it's really important. You can find ACLJ. I'm sure ACLJ.org will be easy for you to find. And the information about the organization, ACLJ, the American, what is it, the American Christian League of Justice or something like that. I wish
I don't know
here.
What ACLJ stands for, but I've been I've been with them for over 20 years. They helped me in some cases over 20 years ago.
Yes,
we just
I remember.
Started the ministry. As a matter of fact, when I started the ministry, the IRS refused to give me the nonprofit status. That was the first case they helped me. And then we were kicked out of a school in Ohio. They helped me in that case, and we won it. And then I have two personal other cases, so it's four cases already with ACLJ. So they are, and they help other people I know of personally.
And many people may know about the case of Aisha Bibi, who was a Christian who had been imprisoned, and they were planning to hang her. And she'd been falsely accused by Muslim accusers. So anyway, ACLJ, go and check it out. Defend, they have a petition, defend Christians from atrocities in Pakistan. So I wanted to be sure we shared that, and we just did. And now you had a couple of other stories for me. I have to get to them. Mm-hmm. We know that in Canada, I had shared this story before, that the Canadian government had attacked these, arrested a pastor in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And his church was actually literally fenced off. The police barricaded the church so no one could go in. And they did this because they were holding services against the will of the Canadian government because of COVID. So I wanted to share that story last week. But now we find out that they also have not done anything about the mosque that is still
operating, a huge mosque.
Yes.
When they say a mosque, it maybe think 20 people. That's a huge mosque.
Yeah.
So they stopped the service in the church. They built the church in prison, literally built a cage around the church like the one we have in Washington, D.C. But at the same time, they will not say a word. They look at the other side. They look away when it comes to a huge number of Muslims going inside the mosque and worshiping Allah, Satan. So it is literally, it's nothing to do with about the health or COVID-19. It's a persecution of the church, persecution of the Christians. So all of you Christians, shut up. Close the church buildings. Don't go to the church services. And it's over for Christianity. But Muslims can have all the liberty and all the freedom to do whatever they wishes. Whatever they wishes. God help.
Yeah. One of my questions that I posted tonight is, should Christians be doing anything to defend America? And what is going on in the world? Why is it important to know about Islam? I'm telling you, these are the reasons. Because you're going to see that it's okay for Muslims to worship. It's okay for Muslims to have their freedom of Islam, but they don't even believe in freedom. That's what's so crazy. But anyway,
yeah.
The other article that you had sent me was related to the Nigerians, which we know there is persecution against Christians. Muslims have been killing Nigerians, and we have an article where
By the way, Christian, there are plenty of Muslim jihadis in Nigeria, like all any other Muslim countries. The largest group, which we always talk about, is called Boko Haram. But in reality, there are plenty of thousands and thousands of other Muslims who are doing the same dirty work of Allah and Muhammad, and they're not tied to Boko Haram. So Boko Haram are bad people, but not everybody in the country of Nigeria follow Boko Haram, because there are also hundreds of other jihadi groups, and there are plenty of Muslims who know nothing about Islam. I call them Muslims in name only. Now, go ahead, get your article out, please.
Well, I am trying to get it to come up for me because I had it saved, and now I'm not getting it up here. Hold
you
on.
Need to say, out, out, in Jesus' name, out, get out. And believe it or not, it will show up on your screen like the demons, cast demons
that
out.
That's right. I see.
The Muslims,
well, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. No, I went to open it up, and it didn't come up. It was a little odd the way it was coming
up. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But we can talk about it.
I can share. Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here it is. The Catholic Church in the country of Nigeria does not believe. I don't have it in front of me, but I know by heart. You found it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I did.
Okay. All right. You can read it if you don't mind.
All right. Oops. Here we go. Getting it in the right so I can read it. This is a beautiful, generous gesture. This is what are they talking about? It's going a little bit crazy for me.
If you cannot have it, Christy, I can move on with the story, please.
Okay, they're building a mosque. The bishop explains, these are Christians building a mosque, and he said, it's a beautiful gesture, the bishop explains. Well, not all Muslims are Boko Haram members. Not all of them, meaning Muslims, are evil. And of course that's true. It's odd, however, for a Christian entity to spend money on a building and a structure in which the following things will be taught. Jesus is not the Son of God, and belief in the Trinity is excess. Oh, people of the book, do not exaggerate in your religion. That's quoting the Quran. So they teach that Jesus was not crucified. These are all things, Usama, that we have learned by
It is a problem. That priest and the Catholic Church lost its minds. The Catholic Church in 1095 did the Crusades. They performed the Crusades. They united all the Catholic and others, joined them to fight and get rid of the evil Muslims who literally invaded the Christian world for over 470-some years. Now, the same Catholic are building mosques for the Muslims. There's so much wrong about this suggestion of the Catholic priest and the Catholic Church. Number one. You are destroying the Christians because now you make the Christians in your church who are not born again Christian anyway, believe that Muslims worship the same God. Believe that nothing wrong with Islam. He said not every Muslim is evil. That means they're good Muslims. There is no such a thing as good Muslims. So you're deceiving the Christians. So now if some of your Catholic people saw you build a mosque for the Muslims, why not go join the mosque and become good Muslims? After all, you are telling them with your stupidity that not every Muslim in Nigeria is bad Muslims. They are good Muslims. So I'm a good Catholic. I want to be a good Muslim. So I say the Shahada and become a Muslim and worship in the mosque which my bishop built for the Muslims. That's number one. So not only you're destroying the Christian faith, but you're destroying the Muslims themselves. If I'm a Muslim, Christian, and I know nothing about Christianity, I know nothing about Islam, and I found that the Catholic Church are building me a mosque, why do you think in the world do I need to leave Islam to believe in the infidelity of the Christians? I mean, my Quran is telling me Christians are lost. Christians are infidels, And when the Christian dies, they'll go to hell because they believe in the falsehood, which is everything about Christianity. If I'm a Muslim guy and I see the Catholic Church, which is the biggest church in many countries in Africa, they're building me a mosque. That means they're assuring me that I'm on the right track. That means not only the Muslims will continue to be in Islam, but they will never think to become a Christian. They're doing work for the devil. This is not loving Muslim people. That is hating Muslim people for eternity. Because if you love somebody who's sick, you don't let them die in the sickness. You don't encourage them to continue to do the wrong things and die in the sickness. If Muslims are sick with the savage cult of Islam, with the falsehood of Islam, they are dying without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the Christian just said. He did not die on the cross. He's not the Son of God. He never died. He never rose again from the dead. If you take the deity of Christ and the work of Christ out of Christ, there's nothing left in Christianity but a joke. It's a comedy. And that is how the Catholic Church are going to love these good Muslims, by making them continue to be in Islam, that they may burn in hell forever. By the way, the Catholic, what he says the word is? The catechism? The catechism.
The catechism, if,
what?
Catechism, you said it right.
The catechism of the Catholic Church believe that Muslims who believe in Abrahamic faith, when they die, they make it to heaven. Can you imagine that? That is the doctrine of faith, the doctrine of garbage of Catholics. And that, by the way, if you die as a Baptist, or as a Protestant without becoming a good Muslim, you will burn in hell forever. The Catholic Church lost its mind. They're literally becoming tools of Satan to hurt the Catholics who do not know too much about Christianity or the Bible, and to hurt the Muslims, and let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Go ahead, Christy.
You know, there was something that happened, and as you were sharing with me the things for tonight's program, this particular thing was very, very disturbing. And, of course, the thing with the Catholic Conference, very, very disturbing. But I'm going to tell you, a friend of mine, you know her, Jennifer. Well, I know a lot of Jennifers, but you know this particular Jennifer. She's listened to you and seen you so many times, and she's a good friend of mine. And she was at a cell group with her church. A cell group, some of these churches, they have small group meetings in someone's home, and they share together there. Anyway, two people are leaders of this particular cell group. One of them wasn't available because she actually was going to have a baby, so she wasn't there. And the other one, the second one, was there and sharing, and she mentioned that she's going to do some mission in Africa. So my friend, Jennifer, asked her and says, well, what are you going to be doing in Africa? You know, it's like, wow, this is, you know, go from Mississippi to Africa. What are you going to be doing? And she said, oh, we're going to be working with a group of Christians and Muslims who just get together, and they are together, and everything is so peaceful, and they share together. This is a Christian church. Okay, this is an evangelical Christian church. And so here's what my friend, your friend, Jennifer said. She goes, how can they do that? They don't believe in the same God. And this But I'm trying to tell you what Jennifer said. She said, how can they do that? They don't even believe in the same God. And the young woman said, oh, yes, they do. They believe in the God of Abraham. This is that baloney that they've been preaching. Oh, they believe in the God of Abraham. They believe in the same God. And Jennifer said, no, I'm sorry. Jesus is God, and they don't believe that. And so how in the world can you tell me that you can be in a group with them teaching things that are not the same? Anyway, to make my point, she shared a number of different things. She asked some very good questions. And she said that no, I'm sorry. I have been learning about Islam for a lot of years. And anyway, I'm going to try to provide some additional material.
All right.
To this.
Christy, just remind me in one of our Saturdays, as we continue to talk about, is the Quran the revelation of God? To talk about Abraham of Muhammad, because it's amazing when you hear the word Abraham in the Quran and the word Abraham in the Bible, you may think, Muslim people think, and so many of these idiot evangelical and Catholic believe, hey, they believe in the same Abraham, and they believe in the same Moses, and they believe in the same Noah, and believe in the same Adam, and they believe in the same Jesus, and they believe in the same David, and none of these stories are accurate
right.
in the Quran.
Absolutely.
Not even
so
one.
That will be good.
They're all
that will be good.
Terribly bad. Anyway.
But you see, the sad thing is, when we try to tell Christians, you need to know about Islam, and they go, oh, I already know Islam isn't good. I already know Islam isn't right. But they don't have the ability. Like my friend Jennifer, she did a pretty good job of talking with this young woman, and but they don't think that's important. And yet they don't understand,
nope.
even in this very conservative church, someone that they picked to lead a group is going to expound on how Islam, Muslims, and Christians are just getting along, and it's all peace and love and kumbaya, and they don't even know that.
Yeah, that's
so. Anyway, she's going to talk. She is going to talk to
every denomination today, Christy. Every denomination in the world.
Yes.
The Baptist and the evangelical churches and the Catholic and the
they're
going off when it comes to the topic of Islam, which is the most dangerous topic.
And
I
that's
mean,
not.
That is the work of the devil. Satan, Allah himself, is in charge of the almost 1.7 billion Muslims, and the number soon is going to be 2 billion plus, especially when we have so many of the Catholic and Baptists are going to join them.
Well, see, Usama, this is why I said, you know, do you think your pastor knows what this person is saying? She said, no, they know at all.
I said, you need to
contact your pastor. And Usama, maybe we can get you there to speak at this particular church.
Yeah.
They need to hear
Most likely, Christy, with all respect, see how bad it is now? Most likely these churches will invite a Muslim imam to speak in their pulpit way, 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 way before they even think about provide an hour for Usama Dagdok to teach, or somebody like Usama Dagdok to teach some truth about the savage cult of Islam, sadly.
Usama, I don't disagree with you, but it doesn't mean that you do not. Because this is what we used to say. Do you remember years ago? In fact, I got the videotape of it because we filmed it.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and we were trying to warn people about Islam. This is many years ago. And one of the conversations was, people go, oh, there's no Muslims in my area. No Muslims live around here. And, you know, what I had learned from you, the problem is, you think Islam isn't an issue where you are, but by the time you figure it out, it will already be infiltrated, and you'll be afraid to say anything at all because you'll be intimidated. And that is where we are. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't give an opportunity to say, hey, would you like to learn about this? Because now it's in your congregation. You don't even know it's in your congregation, but it's in there. So we'll see.
Sad.
I mean, I agree with you, Usama. They may not even let you come, but the point is we can still say, hey, maybe you need to learn something about this. You didn't think it was in your community or
we
that there was
do, we'll, yeah.
a problem. Yeah. Anyway.
We'll do our best. We'll see what the Lord's going to do. We'll do our best. All right. Anything else, Christy?
Just quickly, we are seeing an escalation of persecution against Christians in Egypt and also in other places, just as we had predicted, because of the position of the Biden administration is going to allow these things. ISIS taking credit for executing a Christian leader who was kidnapped out of Egypt, was just executed probably earlier this month or possibly in March, and his family just found out about it. So
yeah,
we're seeing that there's a rise of ISIS already, And they are trying to make themselves known.
You know what's amazing? Under Mr. Trump, ISIS were demolished. Under this weak, sick Biden, ISIS is going to get in control. They're going to be in charge. I guarantee you, soon we'll find out that ISIS will kidnap American and they will behead them like it used to be in the early days of Obama. It is reality. It is reality. When we are weak, they are strong. When they are strong, they don't call for peace, and the real Islam will show up. It is logic. When you go in your house, Christy, at night, and you turn the light on in the living room, guess what? Your house will become no longer dark, but a bright house. The more light bulbs you turn on, the brighter, the shinier your house will be. If you turn the last light bulb off in your house, guess what? It's going to be dark. It's logic. You don't need to have a master's degree. Weak White House, strong Muslims. Strong White House, weak Muslims. And the foolish American cannot figure it out. They cannot figure it out.
I know. It's crazy.
God help us. God help us.
Well, last thing I want to say, because our friends are talking about it, if you have not gone and checked out Mike Lindell's newest video, it's playing on OAN right now, as a matter of fact, but it's also on his new social media, frankspeech.com. It's called Absolute Infiltration. There's a lot of efforts going on right now to recount the votes in several states, to examine them. And I'll tell you what, we really need to support people like Mike Lindell. He has spent tons and tons of money, of his own money, to do things that the government shouldn't have allowed in the first place. So frankspeech.com is his new social media platform. You can watch the film called Absolute now I forgot. He's got Absolute Proof, Absolute Science, and Absolute
Truth.
Let me get it wrong anyway. He's got so much that he has done to reveal how the infiltration of our election came from foreign soil. Absolute Interference is the name of it, and I wish and hope and pray everybody will watch it. Again, I have lazy Christians going, oh, I know the election was stolen. I don't need to know how. Well, the problem is, if you don't invest to know exactly what happened, where will you be when certain changes have to be done? When the American people have to say, we're not going to stand for this, what are you going to say is, oh, we know Biden stole the election? Are you going to say, I understand how they did it, and I demand that it be changed? The American people need to stand up for something. I'm sorry. We got to do something.
And you know what? I'm kind of thankful to the Lord that Mike met with Brennan World View Weekend and do all these videos and where he's standing right now and speaking. That studio is the same studio where I record all my TV shows. Same cameras, same setting. It gives you like a good feeling, you know. Praise God that Mike is using the same studio. And Brennan told me a couple weeks ago, I think I remember told you, Chris, that he's connecting me with Mike. And I hope and I pray that Mike will give me a call sometime soon. I will meet with that man. He's bold. He's strong. He's conservative. He's a Christian. He's not a sissy like many of our preachers and many of our leaders. I would love to do some work with his brother. And man, oh, man, I'll be an answer for prayer. So, guys, pray that the Lord connect me with Mike soon. And if this happens, I will buy two more. I will buy two more pillows from his business. Just kidding.
Hey.
Just kidding.
If you can buy pillows or go on to MyPillow and buy products, you know, he has a great book, and the sales of his book, which it costs like $10 to get it, it supports drug and alcohol treatment program that is totally Christian based and free. Yeah, I have
beautiful,
it too.
Beautiful book. Yeah.
And
actually,
so
I bought
please,
it after you bought yours. Remember, he told me, and I said, I want to see that book. And a lot. You know what? It is the one kind of a book. I love the cover. Did you see the covers?
It's so awesome.
I mean, the cover alone is like, I look at the cover here, still my hand here. The front of the cover is show of him with one picture like drug addicts. I mean, literally look bad, look sick. And the other one was a smile with a shirt on the cross. And in the back, have a picture of him as a little boy, and then one behind with thousands of people behind. Beautiful. I mean, that book, that picture alone is worth the $10.
It is. And you can get
it.
And on MyPillow.com, you can get his book.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy products. There's reduction prices.
Good discount.
And,
yeah, good
and
discount.
If
yeah.
you will buy, you're helping to support the people that work for his company, as well as allow him to continue to do the things that he has been doing is awesome. I know why God blessed him with a successful business, because he has used his
for God.
His for God. Yes,
financial
that's exactly
blessing
what he's
to God.
Done.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Yes, amen.
And you know what, Christy? You cannot ever give God, because everything we got is his.
Absolutely.
Everything, even the breath of life, even when you take air in your lungs and you breathe and you get the air out, that air is not ours. We cannot afford to buy it. Can you imagine if God was charge us $1 for every time we breathe? Man, we go broke. Even the rich will go broke. So thank God for the life,
God
and thank
good.
God for the financial blessing. Amen. So pray.
And we know,
Mike,
we know a lot.
Mike and you somehow working together as a team. We'll pray.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what, I think that would be awesome. I'm praying that that will happen, because, again, the need also for drug treatment, you know, it's so hard to get drug treatment when someone really wants help. Trust me, they're going to have a long wait to get into a program, or they're going to have to pay a ton of money, and some of these programs don't even work. This one that Mike does has been very successful, and you can find out about that, too, on MikeLindell.com, so you will find out about his ministry. Anyway.
Amen. Amen. All right,
yours.
Christy.
Let's go.
I think I'm so excited about our study. We are continuing. Thanks, Christy, for this wonderful time and for the different topics we talked about as we went through so much stuff that's happening around the world. But I really am so excited about our study. Is the Quran the revelation of God, as Muslims claim that Allah is God? And here I really, tonight and maybe next Saturday, I want to look at a true revelation. We compare it to the hogwash Islam, the hogwash Quran. So we can literally put our hands on the real teaching of the Bible and the garbage, satanic teaching of the Quran. I mean, we covered chapter 18. And that study will take us all year long. I mean, literally, we're in April 24, and we can go until Christmas time. Lord is willing, we can continue the study. But can the Quran be the revelation of God, even though it teaches the opposite? Let me say it again. The opposite of the true revelation of God in the Bible. A lot of people who do not know what the Quran teaches and what the Bible teaches, they cannot see the difference. All what here, Abraham, yeah. Moses, yeah. Noah, yeah. Jesus, yeah. But have they studied any of these stories of Muhammad in the Quran and what was put in it, and compare that to that which we have in the Bible? You find that we're talking about the opposite teaching. The opposite. So I want to concentrate tonight and perhaps next Saturday, we'll see what the Lord's going to do, on Jesus' teachings. We as Christian believers believe that the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount or the Mountain, however you want to say it, it is the greatest sermon have ever been told. Why? Because it is the true teaching of God Almighty. When Jesus, the living Word of God, was teaching that sermon, he was teaching the true revelation of God. He's not Matthew telling us about Jesus. Is not Mark or Luke or John or Paul or Peter or James or John tell us about Jesus. It is Jesus, God Almighty, speaking the word of God. So if you want to understand the revelation of God, if you want to be like Jesus, here it is. Listen to his teaching, live his teaching, and you become perfect and you become complete and you become holy. Of course, that is our aim. That is our goal. It's not that if you just read these three chapters, Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, you become holy, you become righteous, you become complete. No. If you live the teaching. So our heart desire should be, how can I live today and tomorrow to be like Jesus? So how can I fulfill his great teaching, his true commands in these chapters? So I know for sure I am getting closer and closer every day to be like Jesus, to be like how God wants me to be. God did not create Adam and Eve to go through the curses of the sin and the result of the sin. God created them to have communion with them, to have a relationship with them. They walked with God, they talked with God until they fall in sin and they lost the fellowship with God and they become the miserable people, which is what we are today. Now, if we live, once again, if we live the true revelation, the true teaching of Jesus in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, we will become complete, we'll become perfect, we'll become holy. Obviously, this is supposed to be the goal of every Christian to do so. And we will fall and we sin and we rise up and we fall and we sin and we rise up and we'll continue that until we get out of this flesh of sin, which Paul cried out and he said, woe to me, who will take me, who will deliver me from the sin of the flesh. Why? Because the things he wants to do, he's not doing. And the thing he does not want to do, it is exactly what he's doing. And that is the result of sin. So we're going to look at the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to compare that to what is written in the Quran to see. Can we say, yeah, the Quran and the Bible on the same page? Yeah, the Quran and the Bible teach the same message. Let's see that. Okay, so Jesus is giving us, Christy, if you don't mind, Matthew chapter 5. And what I want you to do is read to us the blessed words of Jesus to all those who follow him, to all those who fill their hearts to satisfy the hearts of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So let's just read quickly the first few verses, and I'm not going to say too much. From verse 1, Christy, until you go to verse 12.
Okay. All right, this is, and seeing the multitudes, he's referring to Jesus, he went up onto a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Now we have to understand, my dear friends, that this is Jesus' teachings, literally 600 years, or you can say 570-some years before Muhammad was a gleam in his father's eyes. And what's amazing, as we're going to go in these three chapters, that sermon, we found that Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees, the hypocrites among the leaders of the Jewish faith, but also that fit perfectly the teaching and the devil teaching in Islam. You'll be shocked to see the similarity between here and there. Now, the blessing here, which is Jesus talking about, does not fit with anything about Islam. Literally, we can spend a week, you and I, talking about each one of these verses. And you find that this have nothing to do with Islam. There's no mercy in Islam. There's no pure heart in Islam. There's no heart which seek or want to have peace in Islam. They are the one who persecute the Christians. They are the one who persecute, and they are the one who revile and persecute the Christians. They are the one who say false accusation against the Christians. They say evil things against the Christians. So everything about this blessing is not in Islam. You will never, let me say it again, you will never find any of these verses, beginning from verse 3, all the way to the last verse which Christy read a minute ago, which is verse 12. None of these can be found in the Quran, but the opposite in the Quran. Nothing. I mean, think about verse 12, Christy. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. That is the opposite of Allah's word in the Quran. When Allah said, do not rejoice, surely Allah does not like the rejoicing one. So just to be happy, to rejoice, that is sin in Islam.
It's incredible.
I mean, I'm not kidding you, Christy. Everything, and I don't want to spend next couple years to talk about the Sermon on the Mount. That's why I just want you to read these 12 verses, and I'm done with it, okay? But if I will take it verse by verse, you find that everything is written in these 12 verses is the opposite of that which Muhammad wrote in the Quran. Literally, beginning from verse 1, and see when seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he saw, when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And Jesus opened his mouth, and he starts teaching, not just his disciples, but the multitude. And everything Jesus said does not fit with the teaching of the Quran, but the Quran is the opposite. The Quran does not want anybody to be poor in the spirit. Because here, when you are poor in the spirit, you inherit, you gain the kingdom of heaven. No, there's no kingdom of heaven in Islam. There's the kingdom of Jannah on earth, a garden where you have food and sex and the pleasure of the flesh. What is some of it, Allah will not allow the Muslim even today. So everything Jesus said in these blessed verses does not exist in the Quran, and the Quran teaches the opposite. Now, let's move on to verse 13, unless you have something to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to comment because I know you can say something about this. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Muslims have the opposite view. They're going to conquer the earth, right?
With the sword. There's no meekness in it. There's no humility in it. There's no humble heart. It is evil. Islam is a savage cult which teaches the opposite of every verse of these first 12 verses. And I hope and I pray, guys, if you have not studied the Quran, get a copy of my Quran. If you don't like it as a paper book, it's very easy. Download it as an e-book, and you can search it easy. And try to find one verse like that in the entire Quran. It doesn't exist. It is the opposite. It is the opposite.
Right.
Verse 13, Christian.
Okay. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men.
Now, where do we learn anything like that when Muhammad tells the Muslims, you are the salt of the earth? No. You are Allah's helpers and the vidyers of his might or his anger. Allah used the Muslims with the sword in their hand to revenge, to retaliate, to kill, to destroy. No salt. Salt is to preserve life. Sword is to kill life. I mean, everything about Islam is the opposite of Christianity. Without salt, you cannot preserve life, especially in Jesus' days. You didn't have the refrigerators then. No salt, the meat go bad, the food go bad. No salt, the cut in your hand will have infection. No salt, no life. And guess what? Islam does not teach Muslim to preserve life, but to get rid of Christians, yeah. Get rid of life. Next verse.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Keep going.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
I read the Quran and I read the Hadith. I never found a verse like these three verses you read. Not one verse. 6,000 verses in the Quran. And I read thousands and thousands of the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith. Not once Muhammad or Allah said, you are the light of the world. No, they are darkness. As a matter of fact, if you allow the Muslims today to control the world, they will destroy the electricity. They will end the light, the physical light. And if they can turn the sun to darkness, they will. They're evil. How can when the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Jesus wants us to be light, to shine, to do good work, so the Father can be glorified in heaven. Do we see that anywhere in the Quran? No. Allah orders the Muslim believers to go out and kill, to destroy, to steal. No good deed. The best good deed you do in Islam is to perform jihad. Can you imagine, Christy? The best good deed in Islam, the best, is to perform jihad to kill the Christians and the Jews and others. How can the Father, how can God in heaven receive glory when there's blood shed? How can this be?
Not in Islam.
Go ahead. Next verse.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Now we're going to move to some real serious teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Because a lot of people thought that Jesus does not want to follow the law. Jesus has his own agenda. That's why these Pharisees, in many occasions, they will come to test Jesus to see where his stand on the things of the law, where he stands on Moses' teaching. For example, when they brought a woman who committed adultery to Jesus, they said, we caught this woman in the act, okay? Moses says, the law says, such woman to be stoned to death. What would you say, Jesus? How are you going to judge this Jesus? So they know the law. They know the writing of Moses. They know the writing of the prophet. And they're here to test the God of Moses, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the law. These laws of Moses, he did not make it up. Jesus gave it to him. And so is every verse written in the scripture by the hand of Moses and every law written in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was given by Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who walked with Adam. He is the one who talked with Abraham. He is the one who told Noah and told Moses what to say and what to do. Everything about the Bible comes from Jesus. So Jesus, he is telling them here, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You know what the word to fulfill means? To complete.
Mm-hmm.
I am the author of the law, and I'm here to live it and complete it, to cross every T and to dot every I. I'm not here to change any laws or to destroy any laws, but I'm here to perfect it, to give you the bottom line. As a matter of fact, the law was given, and none of the people who have received it fulfill it. I am the one who gave it, and I am the one who can fulfill it, and I will fulfill it. Not only that, but I'm going to help you to get to the bottom line, to get to the root of the problem, and I'm going to help you. If you listen carefully to my teaching, Jesus is saying here, I will fix the problem from the root, not from the surface. I'm going to fix the problem. So if you have a cut on your hand or on your face, makeup is not what I'm going to do. But I'm going to clean that cut, and I'm going to heal it. I'm going to perform miracles that you don't need makeup to hide the problem you have, but we're going to fix the problem from the root. Every sin have a root. And I'm going to help you to get rid of the sin by fixing the problem from the bottom line, and we're going to fix it right. I am the lawgiver, and I'm the law completer. I am the one who completed, and I'm fulfill everything about the law. So, now, let's see how the Pharisees live and how we as Christians can live right before God according to these laws which was given by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to Moses and to the prophet. Go ahead. Next verse, Christy.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Now, Jesus is very clear that not some of the law he does not pass, not even the little of it, not even a dot. And he is the one who is going to fulfill it. Jesus lived the perfect life to say, I gave the law. I lived perfectly by the law. I am the only one who is qualified to be the Holy Son of God. And I'm the only one who have not sinned, not even in one of the least of these laws. And that's why I am the one who's going to die to be the substitute for all mankind. You see, if Jesus have one sin in his life, if Jesus did not fulfill every law, the small and big, if he fall in one sin, he could not be qualified to be the Savior for mankind, because then he need to die for his own sin. But since Jesus was perfect and he lived sinless life and he fulfilled every law which no one can fulfill, now he can die as a substitute, not for his sin because he have no sin, but to die for our sins, to pay for our sins, because he is the perfect Lamb of God. Okay? Next verse, Chris.
Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Jesus is emphasizing again. Verse 19 is repeating verse 18. He is not going to drop any of the small laws. And anyone will teach that any of these laws, the smallest one, that's not important. We just drop this one or drop this one. No, no, no. If you do that, you'll be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But if you practice and teach, you'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. So not only Jesus will fulfill it, but he's commanding us to practice these laws and to teach these laws. Otherwise, we will not be in where we are to be in his kingdom. All right? Listen to this next verse. It's very important before we get to what was written in the law and how Jesus is going to go to the bottom line to fix the problem from the root. Here it is. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, those are the ones, ladies and gentlemen, who are making out of the laws hundreds of other laws. I mean, these are the people who created laws. They make it so hard. They make it impossible for the people to live if they follow all the rules and all the laws, the hundreds of laws they made up. If they cannot do that, I mean, they make it impossible for the Jewish people in Jesus' days to live right, because they did not go with the simplicities of the law. They make it so complicated, so help me God, that it's just to think about all the laws they added to the simple laws, it's like they put a heavy weight, as Jesus said, on the shoulders of people. They themselves could not carry it, and they make it complicated and difficult for anybody else to fulfill. So here is the righteousness of the Pharisees and the writers of the law. Go ahead.
For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Well, he's just contradicting himself here. I mean, in verse 19, he said, not only we teach it, but we live it. But at the same time, he said, our righteousness must be greater than the righteousness of the writer or the prescriber of the law and the Pharisees. And if not, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That is if you want to go to heaven on your own, with your own righteousness, with your own strength.
That's right.
And notice, now Jesus said, if you fell in one of the laws, guess what, Christy? You fell in all of them.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
So, and that's what I always tell people. You don't believe in Jesus? You don't need Jesus to get to heaven, but just be perfect on your own. How are you going to be perfect? Not one sin. If you have one thought, ungodly thought, if you have one lie, if you have one stealing something that does not belong to you, if you've done anything wrong once in your life, Christy, not when you're growing up later, no, from your birth until you die, if you live perfect life like Jesus was, then you don't need Jesus. Jesus left perfect, and he went to the cross to die on the cross for us who are not perfect. You don't believe in that. You don't want to accept his salvation, the free gift of eternal life. That's fine. Just be perfect on your own. Because if you want to go on your own, you must have righteousness exceed higher, greater than that which is of the Pharisees and the writers of the law. Otherwise, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. And thank God, because I know for sure that I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. I'm a sinful man. And thank God because Jesus lived the perfect life. He fulfilled the least and the largest and the strongest and the every law. He lived it perfectly. He didn't drop even a dot. He crossed every T and dotted every I, and he paid for my sins. And because of his righteousness, I can be in the kingdom of heaven. Not because of me. I have no righteousness. If Isaiah 6 says, woe to me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people who have unclean lips. Isaiah the prophet said, I am undone. Who do you think you are? Now, this is the introduction of the laws. Let's talk about these laws one by one to see, does the Quran teach the same thing? If, Christy Johnson, if you find that Allah in the Quran and Muhammad in the Hadith teach the same thing, well, hey, then the Quran is the word of Allah, the word of God. Then Islam is true religion from heaven. Then Muhammad came with a true revelation from heaven. Now, if it's a little bit off, we have to reject it. What? Because Jesus just said, if you're going to teach anything, let's go back again, Christy. It's very important. I want us to go back again.
19?
Verse 19. Yes, ma'am.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
No, he's talking about what? Break one of these commandments. Yeah, you like ignore it, teach something a little bit off from it. No. Now we're going to find that the Quran, which is, as Muslims claim, the revelation of God, it teaches the opposite. Not get a little bit off right or left. The opposite. So if the Bible said north, Muhammad in the Quran, I promise you, he would say south. If the Bible said east, Muhammad in the Quran would say west. If the Bible said what is right is right and what's wrong is wrong, Allah in the Quran would say what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong. The opposite.
You know, it reminds me of Biden and Trump. I know this sounds a little weird, but think about it. Trump did something. Biden does the opposite, even if it's stupid.
Sure.
That's kind of the same thing.
Sure.
The devil works like that.
It is to destroy the truth. It is to destroy America. Trump made America great. Biden tried to make America the least, the weakest. He's literally right now trying to make the whole world greater than America. That's exactly what Obama did before. It's the same thing.
Yep.
It's Obama's third term.
Sadly.
I remember, Christy, under Obama, I bought gas in New York in my vehicle, in my RV, and I bought gas in California. I was in New York, California, the east and the west. It was $4.95 a gallon. I promise you. Under Biden, it will go up to the $5 and $6. I promise you.
And you can only eat four pounds of meat a year. So 4 pounds of beef a year. I forgot to tell you that. All the new things that they want to tell you you can do and not do. I mean, it's unbelievable. But thank the Lord, hey, Mississippi and Louisiana, Texas, Florida, Alabama, these states
Missouri.
Are saying no.
Yep.
Yeah, is Missouri in there? Yeah. We're not doing this. We're not going for it. So thank you, Lord.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the first one, the first law, which was given in the Old Testament to the old people. And let's see how Jesus, what Jesus is teaching it. And when you hear this, you have heard but I. Muslims look at this and they say, look, here we go, abrogation. Excuse me, what? Abrogation. Jesus is changing. No, you idiot. Jesus is not changing. Jesus is going deeper. Jesus fixes the problem from the root. Not the opposite. It is a bitter understanding to the Word of God. It is a bitter understanding to the Word of God. It is a bitter way for us to live right before God. We're going to fix the problem, not by putting makeup, Christy, but we're going to fix the problem from the root. Okay. First one,
right.
Verse 21.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But,
keep going. Mm-hmm.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
Now, the Old Testament, what is was written? What was given by God, by Jesus Christ himself to Moses? He said what? Do not kill.
Right.
Do not
murder.
Kill. Thou shalt not kill. Thou not commit murder or thou shalt not kill. Now, if we go to Genesis 9, we find that also it says there, if somebody commit murder, if somebody kills somebody, that somebody must be killed by another man's hand. That is the law. Don't murder, and if you commit murder, you must be put to death. Not like we do today in America. You commit murder, even if they give you the judgment of the judge that you'll be put to death. And now you are in your 30 or 40. By the time you see the your Lord, most likely you're going to have 30, 40 more years living healthy in a hotel, three meals a day, doctors, and a nice place to sleep, exercise. I mean, what's amazing is they keep them healthy until the day they execute them, Christy.
Empire.
And
yeah.
I couldn't figure this out. If that guy's supposed to go to death, why do you have to fix his teeth? Why do you have to fix his nose and his eyes and his everything about him, okay? Why do you have to keep them healthy for 20, 30 years before you kill them? If you're going to kill them, why don't you just kill them on the spot? Especially when we know for sure that he did it. He'll tell, yep, I did this. Let me show where I hit the body. Here it is, the body, okay? Now, why do we need to wait another a year or even a month? But anyway, so the system is years ago, it used to be, if you steal a horse and they prove it, they steal a horse, they will hang you. Today, you can steal the White House and live in it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you commit a murder and you live another 20, 30 years. Cost the government a few hundred thousand dollars.
It's very
anyway,
crazy. Hey,
so the justice of the Old Testament was justice. You don't commit murder. You don't kill somebody. But if you commit murder or if you kill somebody, you must be also judged. You must be killed. You shall be killed by somebody else's hand. That is the judgment. But Jesus now is fixing the problem from the root, which is you don't get angry. Why? Because when you get angry, you kill somebody. If you never get angry, Christy, at somebody, will you think you can kill that somebody? You, imagine with me. You can live all your life, 80, 90, 100 years. Never get angry once. What is the chance for you to commit murder?
I don't think that would be able to happen.
Now, if you live the Christian life, as we're going to see in Jesus' teaching in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, and you love not just those who are surrounding you, but you love your enemy, what is the chance, if you love your enemy, to kill your enemy? You'll never kill your enemy. Why? Because you'll never get angry at your enemy. If you never get angry at your enemy, you will never murder somebody. You'll never kill anybody. So the problem of killing is not the killing. The problem of killing starts with the anger. Fix the problem of killing by get rid of the anger. Think about this with me, friends. In America, we have hundreds and hundreds of cases of shooting every year. Black on black, beyond your imagination. Just last week in Chicago, another 26 shooting in one day. Okay? Whatever number. 25, 15, 25, 60, 25, 40. I mean, numbers keep going up and down. Thousands of cases. You go to big cities. You go to Los Angeles. You go to New York. You go to Miami. You go to Orlando. You go to Atlanta. You go to Chicago. You go to every big city in America, Seattle. And there's somebody is shooting somebody or somebody is stabbing somebody with a knife. Why? Because they were so happy with them. No, because they were angry at them. Have all these people did not get angry and cool off and smile and walk away from the man or the woman they're going to kill, well, guess what? The number of cases of murder in America will drop to zero. Why? Because you fix the problem of murder by get rid of the anger. Not get rid of the gun. Not get rid of the knife. Because trust me, you don't need a knife to kill somebody. You don't need a gun to kill somebody. Just drive a car and you kill a few people in no time. Can you imagine sitting on a bus or sitting in a 18-wheeler and go downtown some places? You can mow people beyond imagination much faster and you kill a large number of people than any guns.
One of the stories we forgot to bring up was about a Jewish man in New York who backed his vehicle into a group of Jewish people in a crosswalk. No news about it, but it happened. The video is there. Yep.
It's sad. But do you know why this man backed up his vehicle and killed the Jewish people? Because he was angry.
Hates them. Angry. Yes.
Exactly. If you will not, if you can have self-control, which, by the way, you cannot receive except as a gift from the Holy Spirit, self-control, you will never control your anger. Why a brother will kill his brother? Why a husband kill a wife or a wife kill a husband? Why people kill each other is because of anger. So the problem with murder is the anger. Is the anger. Now, if you listen to the advice of Jesus in verse 22, you will never get angry. For sure, you will never commit murder. Now, do you think that's exactly what the Quran teaches Christy about murder?
No. I know that's not what it teaches.
Maybe the Quran is a little bit off. Is the Quran a little bit off?
I think it's a lot off.
It is 180 degrees.
Exactly.
Because while the Bible says thou shalt not murder, and if you murder somebody, you must be killed, and that's the Old Testament, that was what was written of old, and now Jesus tells, don't get angry. Let's open the Quran. Let's look for the word kill. Let's look for the word perform jihad. Let's look for the word engage in war. I mean, the Quran teaches the opposite. Allah wants the Muslim people to be angry. Allah wants the Muslim people to kill, to destroy, to steal, to go on war, to perform jihad, all over the Quran.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So while the Bible moved from the Old Testament, don't commit murder, to the New Testament, don't get angry, Muhammad tells the Muslim not only to get angry, but to kill. And to kill who? The Christians, the Jews, and everybody and anybody who will not believe in the child molester, the sex offender, the prophet pretender, the womanizer, the adulterer, the thief, the thug, the terrorist, Muhammad. I mean, you know what, Christy? If Muhammad was a decent man, like a man without all these evil activities in his life, if Muhammad was free from all the wickedness of his life, I may say, you know what? He maybe is trying to get people to be good like him. That's why he was killed. No, he was killing the righteous, the believers in Jesus Christ, because they rejected to believe in him. And he was nothing but a very wicked, sinful man. So while the Bible said, don't get angry so you don't commit murder, the Quran teaches, get angry and go and kill.
Yeah, you know, I think, Usama, it's a very important distinction between when Muhammad wanted people killed. It wasn't because they had done anything wrong, except they didn't believe in him. And this is different when you talk about the things, and you have a book, two books, two volumes, your second volume be coming out, to explain why God killed sinners in the Bible. But they were
that
sinners.
That is the difference between the holy killing and the unholy killing of the cross.
That's right.
As a punishment for sin. And by the way, Christy, when you read, for those who have not read volume one, I hope and I pray you get and read it. Because it was a holy war to the point that it was performed by holy people. No kidding. The holy war in the Old Testament, it's only one day war. It does not go for weeks and months like Muhammad did. It's one day. And the Jewish people under Joshua and Moses and Joshua all the way to David, they have to be washed. Literally, they have to be clean. They have to be separated, the men, 20 years and older, they have to be separated from their wives sexually to be pure before God, that they may go and fight the one-day battle to get rid of evil people because of their sins. What happened when Achan stole? What happened when there was sin in the camp? The Jewish people went to war and they lost.
Yeah, that's right.
And Moses and the Jewish people were stressed. What happened? Why we lost an eye? And God told them, there is sin in the camp. So you cannot, in the jihad, in the holy war in the Bible, the jihad of the Bible, you cannot go and fight and engage in war, and there is sin in you. If you have sinned, you bring a loss. You lose the war against the enemy. You have to be pure physically, spiritually. You offer sacrifice for your sins and be set from your sins for that one day to go and fight. The opposite in Islam. And by the way, you see this throughout the Bible. The wages of sin is death. So yes, they came to Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, with that woman who committed adultery. And Jesus said, sure, Moses is right. I gave him the law. Whoever among you without sin, let him cast the first stone. What Jesus is saying is, you want to kill her? Make sure that you do not have sin in your life, because if you have sin, you cannot kill her. And guess how many people start throwing rocks on her?
None.
Not even one.
That's right. Nobody.
Because they all have sins. Yeah. They all have sins. So biblically, you engage in war in the Old Testament to get rid of sinful people, to punish them for their sins. But if you have sin in your life, you cannot do that. Because if you go to fight with the Jewish people and you have sin in your life, then you're going to bring a curse on all the camp. There will be loss of life, and you're going to lose the battle. And so it is in Jesus' days. And what did Jesus say to her? Where are those who judge you? Anybody judge you? She said, no. No, sir. He said, neither will I. Go and sin no more. Jesus is the only one who can judge that woman. He's the only one who can carry all the rocks which left behind and he can grab each one of them and throw her and kill her, but he chooses not to. Why? Because he is the righteous one who fulfilled all the law, even the smallest of it, so he can die on the cross for her sins, so he can set her free. Now, in Islam, if you have sin in your life, if you have anger problem, you don't have self-control, and you do evil things, okay? The opposite of what we just read in verse 20, okay? In verse 22. What should Christians do and what Muslims do when they have sin in their life when it comes with worship? So I want you, Christy, to read for me verses 23 and 24. Go for it.
Okay. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
What is gift here? A sacrifice. It could be silver. It could be gold. It's some money. It's a gift you're going to give on the altar, to the altar. You're going to give it to the Lord at the altar. As you walk with your gift, you're going to church to worship, and you write the check for whatever money you're going to give or whatever you're going to do. And as you're about to give the gift on the altar, I remember now, I have sinned against my brother. I have shown this hard feeling between my brother. You don't offer your sacrifice. You don't give your gift. You go first, reconcile with your brother. Fix the problem you have with your brother. Then you can go back to the church. Then you can go back to the altar of the temple, and you gave the gift. Well, guess what, Christy? That is the opposite of what Allah taught the Muslims in the Quran. Why? Because the Quran teaches that good deal takes away evil deeds. The more sin you commit, the more good gifts you give. And that small gift you give will get rid of small sin. If you have a bigger sin, you need to give a bigger gift. A bigger gift as the Islamic tradition, whatever you're going to do. So you fix the problem of sin between you and your brother by giving money to the poor, by feeding some hungry. Of Muslims, of course, not infidels, okay? Now, will God accept that gift, this Muslim gift, to offer as a substitute for their sins they commit against somebody else? Will God accept it?
No.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what the Quran teaches. How can the Quran be the revelation from God if you teach the Muslim to be angry and to kill? And when they sin against themselves, they just go do some good deeds. Good deeds does not get away or give away or get rid of evil deeds. It does not work that way. You only can give the good gifts and the good deeds after you reconcile with those who you have sinned against. The opposite, Christy.
That really shows the contrast really clearly between the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of the Bible. Very clear. They're not the same.
Sure. Let's read the next two verses, Christy.
Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison.
Keep going.
Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing.
What is your solace here? If you have some enmity with somebody else, agree with him, please him, fix it quickly. Why? What if he take you to court? And the judge will give the order to the policeman to arrest you and put you in prison. And you're going to stay in prison until you pay the last penny you owe the person whom you have disagreement with. This is just a good example for just want to teach us to listen. You better fix your relationship with people around you, those who have sinned against, those who you owe something to. Why? Because if not, there will be a time and the judgment will be fulfilled and you'll be punished for it, and I will not let you go off until you pay the last dime. You're going to pay back off everything you have sinned for. So this is not just about me and my neighbor. This is about me and God. Because if I will not live right with God, let me say it this way. If I don't live right with my neighbor, with my people, with my the people I have a problem with, the people I have conflict with. If I'm not going to get right with them, well, guess what? God will not be right with me because justice will be served.
I can give you an example of this in a very practical way. I've gone to court with a lot of different people over conflicts that come up. In some cases, it can be a divorce. In some cases, it can be a criminal matter. But the thing that I always try to say is you have to be the good person in this. You have to be the one that is trying to cooperate and make things work. This is not about being lying about what was done wrong, but there is a lot of good wisdom to this because if you're going to stand up and argue and say, well, you did this and you did that and you did the other thing, trust me, nobody in these cases is without sin. You know what I'm saying? And you may be the one that this ends up turning against. So you're best to try and work something out and be the one that can be the one with the positive approach to settle a matter. Always much better to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's
what it's saying. Yeah.
Amen. Exactly. So, but even if we can get away with our sin in this world, Christy, we will never be able to get away with Christ.
That's right.
We can't.
That's
when
right.
We say, until you pay the last penny, it is until we pay the last penny.
But you know what?
So
that's about forgiving others that you might be forgiven too. So if you're not going to...
Well, it's coming up.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Okay.
Jesus is going to be talking about later. If you don't forgive others, how can God forgive us? Now, let's talk about one more sin. We still have another 10 minutes. We can talk about the sin of adultery as best as we can here. So read for me verse 27, 28, 29, 30.
Okay.
Yeah, let's grab these four verses.
Okay. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thine right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell.
Now, this is a very confusing passage here for those who cannot understand the mind of God or what did Jesus meant by that. First of all, in the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's a law. You know what Allah said in the Quran, Christy? Commit adultery.
Yeah.
Allah in the Quran said not only commit adultery, Allah in the Quran said rape them. That force yourself, adultery is a man and woman having good time and they do it with their free will. But the Quran not only said do not commit adultery, the Quran said rape them. You kill the husband, you kill the father, you kill the brother and grab these women and rape them. Muhammad himself raped them. And he's the noblest example. So how in the world you can tell me when Allah when the God of the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery, and then Jesus went even deeper by fixing the problem from the root, and you tell me that is the same teaching of the Quran, which said not only to kill, but to rape the wife and the daughter of the man whom you are killing. Jesus said what? Don't look. If a man does not look to lust after a woman, he will never commit adultery. It's reality. If you can control your eyes, then you can control your heart. And if you don't lust in your heart, you will never commit adultery. It's a fact. We lust by our heart because we look by our eyes. And because we look by our eyes, we lust by our heart, we end having sexual relationship with these women who are not supposed to be sleeping with. So the adultery roots is the looks of the eyes and the lust of the heart. That's not in Islam. In Islam, say, captures them. Even when the Muhammadans, the followers of Muhammad, capture some of these women, they ashamed of themselves. They say, I can't sleep with her. I know her husband. I know her husband is still alive. So they told Muhammad, should we take care of our sexual desires, physically by our hand, and we don't have to have sex with this woman because we know their husbands, they're from the same city, for heaven's sake. They're the same community. The husband flee because if he was get caught, going to kill. And Muhammad said, wait, let me talk to Allah first. Let me ask Jibreel. And Muhammad talked to Jibreel, and Jibreel came to Muhammad with the answer, Quran, chapter 24. What 424 said? Do you have a Quran on you?
I can open it up. Hold on a second. Okay, 424. I think I know it, but I'm going to read it because I may not know it right. And married women also are forbidden, except all that your right hand possesses. This
that
is the decree
of
Allah for you.
Yeah. Here is the answer of Allah, the devil. Yes, these women are married, but they are in your possession. Have sex with them. Rape them. Do you think, Christy, any of these women who were captured by the Mohammedans really enjoyed having sexual relationship with these men, or they were all raped?
I would believe
when
they
Muhammad
were raped.
Had sex, when Muhammad had sex with Safiya, the daughter of Hayy, did she really enjoy it? A woman lost her husband and her father, her brother, on the afternoon. In the same night, Muhammad raped her all night long. Did she really have good time with Muhammad? A man in her grandfather's age? She was 18 and he was 60. Literally, her grandfather's age. Raping her. That's not just adultery. That's rape.
Yeah.
She didn't tell him, oh, Muhammad, I'm going to enjoy it. Let's have it one more time tonight. No, he raped her. So, thou shalt not commit adultery in the Bible, in the Quran. Commit adultery and rape them. The Bible said, don't look. So you don't lust by your heart. No, grab them, kidnap them. Not look, kidnap them and rape them. What about hooking up the eyes? What about cutting the hands? Why he says the right arm, the right eyes and the right hand? What about the left hand? Well, it's not about cutting the hand off. It's not cutting the, poking the eyes out, no. It is the source of the problem, the looks. What do you do with your hand? What do you do with your eyes? Set yourself free from the temptation. Don't look. Don't act.
There's
so
self-control, right? I mean, it's saying if you can't control yourself, literally, if you can't control yourself, just go ahead and pluck your eyes out. Cut your hand off if you can't control yourself.
Christy, it is the same idea of self-control with anger.
Right. Right.
You don't get angry. You don't look. You don't act. Which, by the way, it is hard and difficult to do in our own flesh. But with the strength of the Holy Spirit, with the strength of God in our life, we can have victory over anything. There's nothing is impossible for God. Everything is possible. But what I'm trying to say is this, because we're running out of time. Our time is gone for today. We'll continue next week with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. I have no idea. We may finish next week, or we may finish for another couple of 3 weeks. But it doesn't matter. The Quran revelation is the opposite revelation of the Bible revelation. When the Bible says thou shalt not get mad so you don't commit murder, the Quran said no, get mad and commit murder. When the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery, don't look, don't lust, say no, kill, kidnap the wife and the daughter and rape them. The opposite, Christy. How in the world you can tell me that the teaching of Muhammad in the Quran is a revelation from God if it is the opposite of that which is written in the Bible? It must be from the devil, Satan, who want us to get angry, who want us to commit murder, who want us to lust by our eyes, to look by our eyes and lust by our heart, who want us to live in adultery, and he wants us to rape women. This is the reality of the teaching of the Quran and the revelation of the Quran. Conclusion, the Quran cannot be the word of God. The Quran is not a revelation from God. It is a work of the devil. Remember, Christy, next time we're going to start on verse 31, Christy Johnson, 31, which we're going to be talking about divorce in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and then we're going to jump into divorce in the Quran. Appreciate you, Christy. Thank you so much. All those in the chat room, thank you so much. I give you the last minute, Christy. Go for it.
I just think it's so important to realize that when people are saying, Muslims believe in the same God, Muslims believe, they believe in the same thing. This is why you need to know. No, they do not. And maybe they don't. You're going to run into a Muslim, don't even know that. Help them. They're not going to be blessed by believing the Quran or in Allah and what he teaches. Okay.
Amen.
Absolutely.
God bless you. Thanks, Christy. Appreciate you. Good production tonight. Producing. Great job. And thanks for all those who listen to us by the phone and those who listen to us during the week. Join us again next Saturday, 9 to 11 Central Time, and depend where you're at around the world. God bless you all. Good night. Keep praying for America, that God will deliver this country from the evil hands of the Democrats who are destroying this country. God bless you all, and good night. Appreciate you, Christy. Bye-bye.
Good night. Thanks, Usama. Thanks, friends in the chat room and everywhere.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.